Hey, before we dismiss the kids, I was just wanting to give Kyle another hand for enduring such cold water. And for being baptized and accepting Christ. And just what a great way to spend a Sunday, right? All right, so Matt's already back there, so I'm going to dismiss the children in the 6th grade, 5th grade, 4th grade, 3rd grade, 2nd grade, 1st grade, kindergarten, preschool. Can be dismissed. I can almost feel my legs again. So, last week, Kyle was supposed to get baptized last week. And somehow the valve didn't get closed all the way. So we had a slow leak, and the water leaked out all the way by Sunday morning. You know, there was like an eighth of an inch of water in there. I said, not this week. That will not happen. So I got in there, and I cranked that thing. Les had already cranked it down, and I just gave it a good measure and got the water turned on. Julie got the heater on and everything. Well, the heater blew basically the reset, and so it cycled water but didn't heat the water that it cycled. And that's always fun to show up on Sunday morning and take an ice bath, basically. I remember doing those when I was in school. You know, you're in sports or whatever, and you gotta ice your legs or whatnot. I'm not in school anymore. That shouldn't have to happen. But anyhow, praise God, right? Praise God. When they baptized in the Jordan, was it heated? No. We're just spoiled. Well, actually, when I was baptized, it was almost like a hot tub, like a sauna. I just wanted to stay there for the whole service. Anyhow, I just wanted to tell you why it was cold, and it's not always cold, but it happens, and we just roll with it, right? All right, let's open our service this morning in prayer. Lord, we love you. We just thank you for what you're doing here at our church. We thank you for Kyle surrendering his life to you and accepting the free gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that prayer for each and every one of us in here. I pray that we come to know you, to love you, and to accept your gift of sacrifice so that we may have eternal life. I thank you for your word, and I just pray you be with the congregation this morning. Be with me as I try to convey what you've given to me. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So I was doing my study this week, and you know, we'd finished the series, Sit With Me, and I rarely know where I'm going next. You know, I just kind of pray and ask God, what do you have to say, God? What do you want me to say? And if you could, give it to me in 4 to 6 week increments so I can be prepared. He didn't do so. Actually, all he gave me this week were two words, now what? And so it's fun when you get two words, because now what can be almost anything in Scripture. But it led me to the book of Acts, and that's where we're going to be today. We'll be in Acts 1 and 2. The Scriptures should be on the screen unless something changes mid-flight here, and if so, I'll be your captain for today, and I will let you know if that's going to happen to us. All right? Just let me give you a little bit of history so we don't have to read it. Luke wrote the book of Acts, okay? Luke wrote two books, Luke and the book of Acts. And he actually wrote the book as a letter. It's addressed to someone, Theophilus. All right, and the thought of this is Luke is actually writing this book concerning Jesus to Theophilus, trying to prove to Theophilus the validity of Jesus Christ, okay? And he's doing so because he was Paul's companion. And it's thought that Theophilus was some sort of Roman higher-up who was going to be in charge of Paul. You know, there's some speculation there, but I'm just going to give you kind of the outline of why is it written to a person, okay? Because not all the books are written to a person, but two certainly are. And this one is just written to Theophilus, and what's neat about it is Luke was a doctor, and he was very detailed. He wrote a lot of things that, if you read his gospel, you will see a lot of just minute details that you won't find in any of the other gospels. And that's on purpose, because he wrote his a lot later. Mark's is the shortest. He was just trying to get the word out. Matthew is almost a complete carbon copy of Mark. All right? John kind of did his own thing. Luke carbon copied Mark and Matthew. All right, so there's just a little bit of history for the Gospels. That's my, how long to give you? That's my 3 minutes on who Luke is and why he wrote this, okay? So I just want to read this 1 through 5. In my former book, he's talking about his Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, I wrote all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. I just want you to see that, okay? Jesus had his disciples. They saw him die. They know he resurrected. And then after, you know, not resurrected, but they know that he came back to life. Let's use that word. He came back to life, because the resurrection is when he goes back up to heaven. But he spent 40 days appearing to them. So they thought that he was gone. But for 40 days afterwards, he was there. And I will tell you that this happens to us all the time. You will be so on fire. You'll be so excited. Jesus will just be your everything. And then you won't feel him. And you'll be like, where'd he go? Jesus is gone. So he must have left me. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He didn't leave you. He didn't leave you. He's with you always. Just as he was with his disciples. He came back for 40 days because he had to teach them and instruct them. And if you look at the four there. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father had promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He says, don't leave Jerusalem. Go and stay. My Father will send you the Holy Spirit. I love it. Amen. I love it. Go and stay. I know John baptized with water. I know you watched me get baptized with water. But can I tell you, the Holy Spirit's coming. And we believe that when you're baptized, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right, that's what Scripture will teach us. We believe that. And the Holy Spirit is a great counselor. He's referred to as the counselor many, many times. And he will instruct you. He will help you. He is not an it. Please don't call the Holy Spirit it. I will ding you every time. He is the third part of the Trinity. You will be baptized to receive him. And that's what Jesus told his disciples. We're going to skip over to 15. We're looking at 1:15. There's a whole bunch in there. If you want to read it, it's just how they're going to choose who's going to replace Judas. All right, so that's how Matthias was chosen. If you want to read it, that's in there, but I can't spend too much time on it today. So in those days, if you're an underliner, do this. Underline these next three words. Peter stood up. Peter stood up. This is Peter, which I will build my church, right? You are rock. You are the one that denied me three times before the rooster crowed. You're the one that got beat by the disciple whom Jesus loved to the tomb, but was zealous enough to run in. He is the one who in the garden decided to wield his sword and chop off someone's ear. If anything, he is an actor. Okay, he is a reactor. He is the epitome of a verb. This man is always in action. So Peter, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. See, it would be super, super easy for Peter to just go back fishing. That's where Jesus found him. It'd be super easy for him to go back and do what he knows. You know, I made fun of him last week because he was at the tomb, looked in, he wasn't there, and they just went home. Right? So it'd be easy for him to go home and go back to the life that he had always known. Even though Jesus had impacted him so much, it would be super, super simple for him to do that. It is super simple for us to do that too. You know, we kind of get stuck in the ruts of our lives where we have what I call a monotonous life. You know, you get up, you might eat breakfast, you go to work, you might eat lunch, come home, you might have supper. I don't know when you eat, but my life revolves around it, right? So, but anyhow, you kind of have this mundane structure of what you do. Peter could have done that, but he didn't. What did he do? Peter stood up among the believers. And I got a picture. There's 120 of them. They're all kind of milling around. It's almost like a Sunday service. You know, they're all just waiting. Who's going to stand up? Who's going to lead us? And I hope that Peter, it's not in the Bible, this is the gospel according to Nathan. I hope that Peter was sitting there and he's like, somebody has got to do something. I'm doing it. So he stands up among the believers. There's 120 people there.
Excuse me.
So Peter stands up. If you're in a group of 120 people, are you the leader? If you're in a group of 120 people, let's just assume they're all believers. Are you the leader? Are you the one that's standing up? Or are you the one sitting down? Just, are you Peter? Or are you not? We're going over to chapter 2 now. And we're skipping to 14. We're skipping to 14. This is Peter still talking. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. See, what I skipped was the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on them as tongues of fire. And each of them were given a gift. They could speak in a different language, okay? Not gibberish. There's a difference. Okay, if you receive the gift of tongues, you're able to speak a different language and communicate to people that are there. Okay, and that's what happened. They each received this gift, and the people around them were like, aren't these people from Galilee, which means, aren't they stupid? Why are they able to talk in many different languages? And then one guy goes, well, they got to be drunk. Because, just disclaimer, I've been drunk before, and I never spoke a different language. Never in my life have I ever... I've even tried to learn a different language, and I can't do it. Okay? So, that's funny. And Peter stands up, and he's a reactor. He's mad. He's like, they're not drunk. You've got to understand. They've received the Holy Spirit. And it's written in the prophet Joel. And he goes on, and he quotes Joel. He quotes Joel for a long time. I'll read it, because I wasn't going to, but I will. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. They will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the question this morning is, whether you're Peter or not, I don't care. This is the most important one I have for you. Do you call on the name of the Lord? And do you expect salvation? Do you expect that salvation? What's funny to me is churches across the United States were packed last Sunday. Absolutely filled to the brim. And every one of them, I pray, every one of them, received a gospel message. And I wonder how many people, because of that day, called on his name. How many people were added to the number because of being able to hear the message? Now, our church isn't as full as it was Sunday, and I'm not a numbers guy. I don't care. One of y'all comes, I'm preaching. Because I think the Lord has something to say to each and every one of you. And today, one of the things he has to say to you is, do you call on my name? Because I want to save you. Yeah.
I want to save you. I want to save you from this troubled world. I want to save you from yourself. I want to save you from the free will that you have. Because sometimes I wish I didn't have it. You ever been there? You just wish God would just tell you what to do and it'd be easy and you could just do what he wanted you to do and not have to learn anything on your own. That would be super simple, but that would not be an epitome of faith. That would not be faith at all. At all. I wish that see, the Bible gives you a way to go through life and it gives you help and instructions, but it doesn't say, on Monday, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. Once that's accomplished, go to bed because you've got nothing else to do. It doesn't do that. I wish it did. I really do. I really wish it was that simple to live life, and it's not. It's not. It's hard. It's difficult. So when we get in those times of trouble, do you call on the name of the Lord? Do you realize He is the perfecter of our faith? That He alone will save us? He has the power. That's what He proved with the resurrection. He has the power. He raised people from the dead, then He raised Himself. If He can do that, trust me, He can handle your life. He can handle your mess. He can handle your sickness. He can handle your doubt. He can handle it all. Just give it to Him and watch what happens. It's amazing. The transformation. I wish you could have seen me before. I was just a wretched human. Not that I'm any better as a sinner, but man, I was just not that nice of a person. And now, Charity says, she looks at me, she's like, I don't even know who you are right now. I can't even recognize you sometimes. And that's awesome because of the transformation that Jesus does. When He gets a hold of you and when you get a hold of Him, the changing power and the love that He has for you. All right. I could preach on that all day. Let's go. Let's read something else. We're going to read. This is going to be a long one. And I'll stop as the Lord leads. We're going to start in 2:22. Men of Israel, listen to this. It's still Peter talking. So he's calling them out. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miraculous wonders and signs, which God did among you through Him. As you know, as you yourself know, this man was handed over to you by God, set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death. What did he say? He said, hey, Jesus of Nazareth, this guy that did a whole bunch of stuff for God, was handed to you, and what'd you do with him? You killed him. You put him to death. By nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said this about him. I saw the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will live in hope, because You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will You let Your Holy One see decay. You have known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that He would place one of his descendants on His throne. On His throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, and he was not abandoned to the grave, nor his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, from whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. See, the prophecy had always been that a king was coming, right? And they knew that David was a great king, and that the lineage had to come from David. And if you track Jesus' lineage back, it's very easy to find David, okay? You will land at David, and if you go all the way back, you can go to Adam.
But he wasn't the king they thought. He wasn't the king. And he's talking to the Jews. He himself would have been one, right?
He's talking to the Jews and he says, look, Jesus of Nazareth came. He was God's son. He was God's descendant. And you killed him. You crucified him. You crucified the king. But he lives because he's been resurrected. He's been resurrected. And he says, you know, Jesus had told us that the Holy Spirit was coming, and that is what you're seeing now. The Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are what you're seeing now. You see my men speaking in tongues or talking in your native language is probably a better way to say it. That's a gift from the Holy Spirit. And if you look up on our wall over here, we have other gifts or fruits of the Holy Spirit. He will give you what you need when you need it. Right? Did these guys always automatically just change the way they spoke? They needed it at the time. He will give you love when you need it. Give you joy when you need it. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I wish he gave them all at once. Anybody here want all those at once? Just check, done. Got them all. Anybody here have them all? All the time? No. Why not? Because you might not need them at that time. Right? But I will tell you this, that the Holy Spirit will give you, will equip you with what you need when you need it. You have to do what Peter did and stand up. You have to do what Peter did and accept it and say, okay, something has to be done now. So that's what I keep coming back to is now what? Okay, Jesus died, he's been resurrected, but now what? Now what are they to do? They had a choice. They were at a crossroads. They could go back to the life that they knew, or they could be faithful and do what they've been told to do. So far, what we're seeing is faithfulness. Okay, Peter has chosen to stand up. When the people had heard this, they were cut to the heart. This is 37. Cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? There's going to be a point in time in your life when you ask that question. Maybe you've already have. Like, oh man, what do I got to do now? You know, you get to this spot and you're just clueless. You're just absolutely like, I don't know where to go from here. What am I supposed to do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and be baptized. So I wanted to look at those words a little bit. A lot of you know what repent means, and if you don't, I'm going to tell you. Repent means, in its actual translation, it means to turn around. Okay. So let's say it says repent and be baptized. So if I was going this way and I'm going along the wrong path, Peter says repent. I got to turn back to the cross. Okay. I got to turn away from where I was going. I got to turn away from what I was doing. I got to turn completely away from maybe friends, maybe family. Whatever it is that's keeping you from him is what he's asking you to turn from. It's what he's asking you to give up. He's asking you to say, okay, I don't want this anymore because I want you. So I'm going to repent of that. All right? Repentance doesn't mean you have to come and kneel on a kneeler on a Sunday morning. Doesn't mean you have to come pray with someone on a Sunday morning. Those are great actions and we encourage you to do those, but furthermore, what repentance means is an actual giving that up. It's an actual turning away from it. Not in the moment, but for always. Repentance is permanent. So repent from your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. He put them together, didn't he? Repent and be baptized. A lot of people ask me, why do you baptize? Why do you teach people baptism? It really depends on who I'm talking to and their tone of voice. They're teasing. People will get a similar response. Like, one of my first responses, and before I was very versed, I would say, Jesus did it. That's not a good enough reason No. It's a good reason, but let me tell you. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. I want forgiveness of sins. So I know what I'm to do, so I'm going to be obedient and do it. There are people that come to Christ on their deathbed that cannot be baptized. But they repent of their sins. They beg for forgiveness. Will they be forgiven? I'm not God, but I think so. I think so. I think it's more about the heart. Right? I know the truth, and I know I need to be obedient to it. So I do. But if they don't know the truth until the very end, they're on their deathbed, and they learn the truth, and they can't, they don't have the opportunity to do it, do you think God's going to exclude them? I don't. I get to speak for him sometimes, but on this one, it's just gray. It's gray. I would tell you that I've prayed with lots of people in the hospitals, and I've seen people's hearts. God's given me the eyes for their hearts, and I know that they truly accept and believe. And I feel confident that one day I'll see them again. So Peter tells them, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think that's where we're going to go next week. We're going to do some Holy Spirit talk. So come back next Sunday if you want to know more about the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. He's not just talking to them. He's talking to us. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000.
I think the water would have warmed up by the time you did 3,000.
3,000 people. We got some warm water by then, right? Ah, what a steady flow. I'm jealous of Peter. He got to baptize 3,000 people in one day. But it's more than being the official that got to do it. He got to be a mouthpiece for God. He got to tell 3,000 people, and that's just men, y'all. That doesn't count the women, because they didn't. That's just men. 3,000 were numbered. That day, 3,000 people, because Peter stood up. I wonder how many we can add to our numbers if we stand up. I wonder how many, and I don't mean, okay, when I say our number, I don't mean Open Arms number. I mean the capital C, the big church. How many can we add to our numbers if we stand up? How many can we add to our numbers by being faithful, by being obedient, by knowing the word and not being afraid to do something about it? Those of you that went to the ladies' conference, I might have stolen this from it subliminally, but I didn't mean to. But so if Jesus Christ is real and if he is who he says he is, now what? What are you going to do? Are we just going to keep all this in? Or are we just going to go about our lives normally? This should be life-changing information. And this should be information that you keep to yourself. This is information we want everyone to have. And as we follow through this the study and we look at the disciples, that's what they did. That's why we have a discipleship course here twice a week. We have one Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, because we're trying to figure out how to follow God, and not just that, but how we can help others follow God. How we can be better disciples ourselves, because if you think these 12 guys had it right, they did not have it right. Peter cut a dude's ear off. While Jesus is being arrested, Peter decides, you know what? Cut your ear off. What does Jesus do? He shakes his head. How many times does Jesus shake his head at you? Anyway, so he shakes his head, and he goes over and picks up the ear, and he puts it back on. He does. He just goes and puts it back on. Like, Peter! I can just hear him. Stop! Sometimes they just insert my name. Nathan! Stop! Just focus. Right? And he says that to us, and I think he says it with that kind of almost a disgusting patience, like, again? All right, forgive you. Seriously, we've got to work on that. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you have not repented and been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, I'm going to be down here and there's going to be another guy standing next to me. We'd love to talk to you about it. We're not going to pressure you into it. If you're ready, you're ready. If you're not, you're not. But I want you to be able to take information. This is a new thing for people. But not just know it, but do something with it. Right? I want you to be able to take this information and be able to apply it to your lives. I want you to know that there is a loving God who no matter what, and I kind of make light of it, no matter how many times you mess up, still loves you. No matter how many times you turn from Him, He's still there with open arms waiting for you to come back. He is a loving God. He's a righteous God. He is a loving God. He's not sitting there on His throne waiting for you to mess up to hit you with your gavel. Okay? He's sitting there on your throne waiting for you to mess up and realize, oh, I need you, and come back to Him. Okay, if you're familiar with the story of the prodigal son, the father ran to his son, who had turned away from him, ran to him and embraced him and hugged him. He says, "My son was lost, but now he's back." And that's what he says. When you come back to him, you were gone, but now you're back, and I love you. Thank you. It's almost like he's pleading, "Please come back to me. Please, just turn away from all of that and come back to me." But He gave you free will, so you get to pick. You get to choose. You get to choose. Do you like it? Sin's fun. Just sin's fun. If it wasn't, you wouldn't do it. Right? I was talking to Matt this morning. Christianity's hard. It's tough. We don't always get it right. But there are people here that will help us get along together. See, every time, every description, other than a couple of the prophets, they had other people with them. They weren't meant to do it alone. And even the prophets, I'm jealous of them, they were alone, but God was there. God was there. So they were never physically actually alone. And He is with us. He's in each and every one of us. And He says, "Come to me, repent and be baptized for your sins." Before He even says that, He says, "I love you. You, I love. Will you love me back? Will you love me too?" Because there's nothing more awkward than someone saying, "I love you," you're not saying, "I love you too." So you need to say, "I love you too." But mean it. Okay? I think I'm done. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Jesus and His sacrifice. I thank You for Peter. Thank You for using an imperfect, zealous person like Peter, who I can identify with so much, who just gets excited and wants to do something, and sometimes in his excitement, does the wrong thing. And I thank You for loving us when we do that anyway. I pray that You would be with us and allow us, whatever it is that we need, use the Holy Spirit to guide us. Give us the fruits that we need when we need them. Allow us to recognize that You've already equipped us for the situation. And allow us to stand up. Allow us to not feel that fear. Not to feel the lump in our throats. But to speak out boldly and proudly for You. To exemplify Your love. To reciprocate Your love. Lord, I pray this morning that You be with each and every one of us as we exit each other's company. I pray that You would still go with us. You would go before us and prepare the way. Keep us safe and guide us in Your will. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to have what's left of the elders. It's just me and Les today. Matt's teaching and Jesse had another engagement. So I'm going to have Les come down here. I'm going to have the praise team come up. They're going to sing another song. And I would challenge you, are you ready to stand up? Maybe you've been sitting in your chair. You've been wiggling. A lot of you have been wiggling today. I won't even point you out. Maybe you've been wiggling. And the Holy Spirit's saying something to you. He's saying, "Now what? Now what are you going to do?" If He's saying that to you, I would pray that you would stand up and come and talk to one of us. Or you don't have to talk to us. You can come and kneel, or you can do it from your seat, your chair, wherever you are. But respond.
Don't just have this information and let it die. It does you no good to know something without putting it in an application. Absolutely no. If you know how to read and don't read, that's just dumb. If you know how to get saved and don't get saved, that's just dumb. I'm sorry, dumb. I don't understand it. And I will never. I'm ranting. Let's stand up. I love you guys.